Chapter 38. She smiled, half serious.
Well, and what shall I say to him?
I don't know. You may tell him of your discovery.
What's that?
Why, my lack of love for...
Oh.
That's between ourselves, she interrupted. It was hard to say whether in jest or earnest.
I see that you want to tell Peter Ivanovich something in my favor, said Razumov, with grim playfulness.
Well, then, you can tell him that I am very much in earnest about my mission. I mean to succeed.
You have been given a mission, she exclaimed quickly.
It amounts to that. I have been told to bring about a certain event.
She looked at him searchingly.
A mission, she repeated, very grave and interested all at once.
That sort of mission?
Something in the nature of propaganda work.
Ah, far away from here?
No, not very far, said Razumov, restraining a sudden desire to laugh, although he did not feel joyous in the least.
So, she said thoughtfully,
I am not asking questions. It's sufficient that Peter Ivanovich should know what each of us is doing. Everything is bound to come right in the end.
You think so?
I don't think, young man. I just simply believe it.
And is it to Peter Ivanovich that you owe that faith?
She did not answer the question, and they stood idle, silent, as if reluctant to part with each other.
That's just like a man, she murmured at last.
As if it were possible to tell how a belief comes to one.
Her thin Mephistophelian eyebrows moved a little.
Truly, there are millions of people in Russia who would envy the life of dogs in this country.
It is a horror and a shame to confess this even between ourselves.
One must believe for very pity.
This can't go on.
No, it can't go on. For 20 years I have been coming and going, looking neither to the left nor to the right.
What are you smiling to yourself for?
You are only at the beginning.
You have begun well, but you just wait till you have trodden every particle of yourself under your feet in your comings and goings.
For that is what it comes to.
You've got to trample down every particle of your own feelings.
For stop you cannot, you must not.
I have been young, too, but perhaps you think that I am complaining, eh?
I don't think anything of the sort, protested Razumov indifferently.
I dare say you don't, you dear superior creature.
You don't care.
She plunged her fingers into the bunch of hair on the left side, and that brusque movement had the effect of setting the Tyrolese hat straight on her head.
She frowned under it without animosity, in the manner of an investigator.
Razumov averted his face carelessly.
You men are all alike. You mistake luck for merit. You do it in good faith too.
I would not be too hard on you.
It's masculine nature. You men are ridiculously pitiful in your aptitude to cherish childish illusions down to the very grave.
There are a lot of us who have been at work for 15 years, I mean constantly trying one way after another, underground and above ground, looking neither to the right nor to the left.
I can talk about it. I have been one of these that never rested.
There. What's the use of talking?
Look at my gray hairs.
And here two babies come along, I mean you and Alden, you come along, and manage to strike a blow at the very first try.
At the name of Alden falling from the rapid and energetic lips of the woman revolutionist, Razumov had the usual brusque consciousness of the irrevocable.
But in all the months which had passed over his head he had become hardened to the experience.
The consciousness was no longer accompanied by the blank dismay and the blind anger of the early days.
He had argued himself into new beliefs, and he had made for himself a mental atmosphere of gloomy and sardonic reverie, a sort of murky medium through which the event appeared like a featureless shadow having vaguely the shape of a man.
A shape extremely familiar, yet utterly inexpressive, except for its air of discreet waiting in the dusk.
It was not alarming.
What was he like? The woman revolutionist asked unexpectedly.
What was he like?
Echoed Razumov, making a painful effort not to turn upon her savagely.
But he relieved himself,
by laughing a little while he stole a glance at her out of the corners of his eyes. This reception of her inquiry disturbed her. How like a woman, he went on. Had it the good of concerning yourself with his appearance? Whatever it was, he is removed beyond all feminine influences now. A frown, making three folds at the root of her nose, accentuated the Mephistophelian slant of her eyebrows. You suffer, Razumov, she suggested, in her low, confident voice. What nonsense! Razumov faced the woman fairly. But now I think of it, I am not sure that he is beyond the influence of one woman at least. The one over there, Madame de S, you know. Formerly the dead were allowed to rest, but now it seems they are at the beck and call of a crazy old harridan. We revolutionists make wonderful discoveries. It is true that they are not exactly our own. We have nothing of our own. But couldn't the friend of Peter Ivanovich satisfy your feminine curiosity? Couldn't she conjure him up for you? He jested like a man in pain. Her concentrated frowning expression relaxed, and she said, a little wearily, let us hope she will make an effort and conjure up some tea for us. But that is by no means certain. I am tired, Razumov. You tired? What a confession. Well, there has been tea up there. I had some. If you hurry on after Yakovlich, instead of wasting your time with such an unsatisfactory skeptical person as myself, you may find the ghost of it, the cold ghost of it, still lingering in the temple. But as to you being tired, I can hardly believe it. We are not supposed to be. We mustn't, we can't. The other day I read in some paper or other an alarmist article on the tireless activity of the revolutionary parties. It impresses the world. It's our prestige. He flings out continually these flouts and sneers. The woman in the crimson blouse spoke, as if appealing quietly to a third person, but her black eyes never left Razumov's face. And he what for, pray? Simply because some of his conventional notions are shocked, some of his petty masculine standards. You might think he was one of these nervous sensitives that come to a bad end. And yet, she went on, after a short, reflective pause and changing the mode of her address, and yet I have just learned something which makes me think that you are a man of character, Kirillo Sidorovich. Yes, indeed you are. The mysterious positiveness of this assertion startled Razumov. Their eyes met. He looked away, and, through the bars of the rusty gate, stared at the clean wide road shaded by the leafy trees. An electric tramcar, quite empty, ran along the avenue with a metallic rustle. It seemed to him he would have given anything to be sitting inside all alone. He was inexpressibly weary, weary in every fiber of his body, but he had a reason for not being the first to break off the conversation. At any instant, in the visionary and criminal babble of revolutionists, some momentous words might fall on his ear, from her lips, from anybody's lips. As long as he managed to preserve a clear mind and to keep down his irritability, there was nothing to fear. The only condition of success and safety was indomitable willpower, he reminded himself. He longed to be on the other side of the bars, as though he were actually a prisoner within the grounds of this center of revolutionary plots, of this house of folly, of blindness, of villainy and crime. Silently he indulged his wounded spirit in a feeling of immense moral and mental remoteness. He did not even smile when he heard her repeat the words, yes, a strong character. He continued to gaze through the bars like a moody prisoner, not thinking of escape, but merely pondering upon the faded memories of freedom. If you don't look out, he mumbled, still looking away, you shall certainly miss seeing as much as the mere ghost of that tea. She was not to be shaken off in such a way. As a matter of fact, he had not expected to succeed. Never mind, it will be no great loss. I mean the missing of her tea, and only the ghost of it at that. As to the lady, you must understand that as he has her positive uses. See that, Razumov. He turned his head at this imperative appeal, and saw the woman revolutionist making the motions of counting money into the palm of her hand. That's what it is.
You see? Razumov uttered a slow C, and returned to his prisoner like gazing upon the neat and shady road. Material means must be obtained in some way, and this is easier than breaking into banks. More certain to. There. I am joking. What is he muttering to himself now? She cried under her breath. My admiration of Peter Ivanovich's devoted self-sacrifice, that's all. It's enough to make one sick. Oh, you squeamish, masculine creature. Sick. Makes him sick. And what do you know of the truth of it? There's no looking into the secrets of the heart. Peter Ivanovich knew her years ago, in his worldly days, when he was a young officer in the Guards. It is not for us to judge an inspired person. That's where you men have an advantage. You are inspired sometimes both in thought and action. I have always admitted that when you are inspired, when you manage to throw off your masculine cowardice and prudishness, you are not to be equaled by us. Only, how seldom. Whereas the silliest woman can always be made of use. And why? Because we have passion, unappeasable passion. I should like to know what he is smiling at? I am not smiling, protested Razumov gloomily. Well, how is one to call it? You made some sort of face. Yes, I know. You men can love here and hate there and desire something or other, and you make a great to-do about it, and you call it passion. Yes, while it lasts. But we women are in love, and with hate, with these very things I tell you, and with desire itself. That's why we can't be bribed off so easily as you men. In life, you see, there is not much choice. You have either to rot or to burn. And there is not one of us, painted or unpainted, that would not rather burn than rot. She spoke with energy, but in a matter-of-fact tone. Razumov's attention had wandered away on a track of its own outside the bars of the gate, but not out of earshot. He stuck his hands. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.